Well, hi, everybody. I'm Danny Huerta, Vice President of Parenting and Youth at Focus on the Family. And we've been talking about some very important things related to 13 Reasons Why, a very, very popular show that many of you most likely have heard about. And if you've missed our last two segments on bullying, cyberbullying, and self-injury, make sure you take the time to listen to those and kind of catch up with us on what we've been talking about to be able to help your teen. And on today's episode of The Parent's Guide to 13 Reasons Why, we're going to be talking about a very, very important topic, sexting. It's something that we did not dream about as parents we would be having to deal with. And anyone that has a child with a cell phone should be listening to this because it can happen to anyone, even if they don't ask for it. So you've probably heard this term, and we're gonna dig in on this topic of sexting and try to help you as a parent know how to navigate this and respond in a way that is loving and also directive for your child. And so with me today, I have Christina Chismar and Glenn Lutyens, two of our great counselors here at Focus on the Family that work with teens and continue to work with teens. And so welcome to the show, Glenn and Christina.
Thank you. It's
Thanks,
good to
Danny.
Be here.
Good to be
All
with
right.
you.
Excellent. So 20% of seventh graders end up sexting.
Wow.
That is concerning. So what is sexting? Tell us, what do you guys know about sexting?
Well, sexting can be anything with words, pictures, messages that are engaged in sexual communication. It can be flirting. It can be having word sex or being able to turn each other on through text messages.
Mm-hmm. And it may be a situation where somebody has initiated it themselves, but it could be something where someone has asked them, send me a picture of yourself. So there can be a lot of pressure that comes into play when it comes to sexting.
Yeah, you know, I remember a boy who's about 17 came into my office and said, Mr. Huerta, and with a big smile on his face, he said, I got a picture from a girl at school. And I said, oh no. He said, yeah, she sent me a nude picture of herself. And his mom did not know what to do. So why is this so dangerous for teens? When this happens, this reaction with his boy was one with a smile.
Right.
The mom was frightened. So why is this so dangerous for teens?
Well, I think that a lot of times when a person does sex, they don't have an idea of what they're getting into.
Right.
They just think, oh, this is fun, this is playful. But the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and the legal ramifications of sexting can be quite significant. And mm-hmm. I think it's just an area that is so easy to stumble into. A lot of times there's a desire to be acceptable to other people, and that can motivate a lot of unwise behavior.
Right, especially with girls, I think there's an excitement. It's an energy of wanting to be accepted, wanting to be liked, and so being able to participate in something that's going to make them more desirable. They think it's going to make them more desirable. They don't understand the harm that they're doing to their bodies and to their identity.
Christina, great point. I think that girls have the most difficult position in all of this.
Yeah.
If you send a picture, you're called a slut, right? Or a person that is easy to, access sexually, right? But if you don't, then you're called a prude.
Right.
Somebody that is not willing to engage in that, a goody-goody.
Right.
And so either way, you lose as a girl if you're asked to engage in this.
You do. And being able to know where is that boundary of, okay, I want to be social. I want to be popular. I want guys to like me and accept me and want girls to like me and accept me. But I don't know how to navigate that when everybody's doing this or everybody's wanting this. And so feeling like, okay, if I'm asked for this, I have to comply because if I don't, then I'll be ostracized or I'll be not included.
And it's interesting, you mentioned that a person would be called a prude, which the word prude comes from the word prudence. It's a biblical term. And it really means somebody who can see down the road the outcome of a decision that's made today. So being a prude is really a good thing, but the price tag has been switched on that.
Oh, great point, Glenn. I mean, imagine a parent helping a child respond with that kind of response. Well, yeah, I am. I look ahead. Mm-hmm. I look at
I can see the
what
outcome.
Could happen. That's right. Great. I love that response. Teenagers just don't naturally think long term, right? So
no.
How do you help in your situation as a counselor? Tell us about a situation maybe where you helped a child think down the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we get a lot of calls here at Focus on the Family, and maybe more so from parents who are concerned about, you know, their son or daughter has been doing some sexting. And so we try to really encourage them to be proactive. It's real easy just to kind of pull in, oh no, what's happened, to feel embarrassed and shame, even on the parent's part. Well, I've never spoken to my child about this. But really being proactive and recognizing that there are actions that both the teenager can take as well as the parent.
Mm. Yeah. And when I'm talking with a teenager who may have been in this or we're talking about trying to prevent sexting, I talk about maybe a time when they've been embarrassed in the past, when they didn't think about their actions, and then it caused them harm socially. And most kids have had an experience with some kind of peer pressure event that has then had negative consequences.
Peer pressure, right? We've mm-hmm. heard that probably since Bible times, really.
Right. Right?
Peer pressure's been
exactly.
there. We can't get rid of it, but we can certainly equip our kids. So what they say, as far as they being, this is the research study area. There is a research study specifically on 1,300 junior high kids. Wow. And what they found is that kids that engage in sexting are 4 times more likely to be sexually active, which... Wow. First, as parents, we need to listen to that. And I love what you said, Glenn, that we have to be proactive as parents, which takes a lot of intentionality, paying attention, energy,
right.
Being okay with conflict. Yeah. As far as in parenting with a child, you're not always going to make them happy. And this is one case where we have to be okay with those uncomfortable conversations. And so how can we help protect our children from this type of thing? How do we enter these conversations in a natural way, in an intentional way in our homes?
I think it's important to stay open and to keep the conversation going. I think so many Christian families are afraid of educating their children for the idea of planting a seed, or that they're going to not be protecting their children by educating them about all the different issues regarding sexuality and sexting and the things out there. But I think education is so important in this area around sexting, around the legal ramifications that children could run into. Make sure that you're keeping that conversation open and you're giving details, because they need to hear it.
And I think it's constructive to ask questions that are more general to begin with. To start off by saying, you know, are you sexting, is really going to be a way to end the conversation.
Right.
So you really want to
shut down.
Yeah,
in
there's
going to
be
out.
No openness there. So if you really talk about it in more general terms, that this is a fairly common phenomenon, what do you think might be going on in people's minds? And, you know, what do you think is motivating them? Why do people do this? What can they do different? Questions mm-hmm. tend to be more constructive on the parent's part than statements per se.
So you're saying more conversational,
right.
More of a connection,
dialogue.
Rather than going straight to restriction.
Right.
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 Well, and almost giving your child control, empowering them to take responsibility and be in control of themselves and their actions and their sexuality, instead of telling them, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, empowering them of saying, you know, who do you want to be and how can you take control of this instead of just giving it away to your peers and your friends who are, you know, forcing you to do something that you don't want to do.
Yeah, we just partnered with Forcefield here at Focus on the Family.
Yeah.
And it's a type of software that helps you dialogue, right,
yes.
with your teen about their use of social media and technology. And I really love that there's software now as parents that we can access. What was astounding to me is that only 26% of parents in a recent study, you actually use any type of monitoring software. Especially, we have to do this.
Absolutely.
And it's not because we're not saying should. We're saying you could do it, and it really would benefit you as a parent so that these conversations go well, right? And what you're saying, Glenn, is that our time of conversation with our kids is important in that we actually enter their space and have empathy for the fact that there's a lot around them and you want to explore with them. Is that what I'm hearing from
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. That there's an opportunity really to bring it up. I think that parents who talk about the issues are more likely to experience a lower involvement of sexting on the part of their kids.
So let's say a parent finds out at dinner time or in the car that their child, or maybe the school calls, right, that their child has been participating in sexting. How does a parent respond to that one? What do we do as parents?
I think calmness is really key in that, because it's real easy when a parent is feeling all the emotional juices himself of maybe embarrassment, shame, anger, disappointment. It's real easy to react. But being calm, being proactive, being able to hear, maybe just even asking the question, help me better understand what was going on. What were some of your thoughts that may have led you to this?
So how can someone be calm in that situation, Glenn? Give me that.
Well, they may need to take 5 or 10 minutes first to, right. to just relax a little bit and say, okay, Lord, give me wisdom here.
Yeah, that's good.
But then to recognize, too, that yeah, we may be upset and angry at our child for doing something that's wrong. We have to first ask the question, how about myself? Mm-hmm. I need the grace of Jesus Christ every single day.
That's a great reminder.
And so if I have the grace of Jesus Christ, I need to be able to be a conduit of that and show that to my child as well here. They don't need a lecture. They need my love right now.
That's right. And they need the understanding and being able to ask questions like, you know, tell me how this happened, or, you know, explain to me what you were thinking or feeling, or how were you engaging in this? Was this your idea? Was this somebody else's idea? Try to find out what is the unmet need behind this right. behavior, because usually there's an unmet need, whether it's I wanted to be accepted, or I just was bored and wanted some excitement, or I just was feeling aroused. Being able to find out what is that unmet need behind the behavior. And so using that tell me more and almost that Columbo effect of how tell me more about that can be really helpful.
Clearly, there's a lot facing our teens, including this yeah. topic of sexting. And you've brought up emotions and legal ramifications, right Glenn? Right. And tell right. us a little more about the legal
well,
aspect to this.
If someone creates and transmits photographs of a minor, it can be certainly understood as creating child pornography.
Yeah, and distribution of child pornography.
Yeah, right. So it's something that people don't think that way, but they really need to understand it in that context.
So how do we know when it's time to go seek professional help? When do we know that it's we have to do this? We need to find a counselor.
Sooner rather than later. This is one of those urgent issues of when you find it, it needs to be addressed sooner rather than later. And if you're feeling uncomfortable with this subject, or you're feeling like your child isn't as open in talking to you about this, or you're not being able to get a handle on this immediately, go talk to a counselor. Even if it's just you as a parent going to talk with a counselor so that you can get support on how to help your
right.
child.
Yeah, and there are some steps that a parent can take. It's important for a parent to find out if there's been some sexting, what are the people who have been sending pictures, to be able to block those numbers, to be able to maybe even talk with other parents if other teens have been sending or been receiving text messages or photographs. So a parent has to be vigilant. Those are some of the things that aren't as easy to do, but they're really important. But I do think getting counseling, pursuing some counseling, at least giving the teen an opportunity to spend a couple of sessions talking with someone and just being able to express what's going on in their life, I think that's great value.
Right. And just understanding that the trust, when something like this has happened, the trust has been broken. Mm-hmm. And we have to work on rebuilding the trust and teaching our kids how to be in appropriate relationships. So there is some consequences to that action. There needs to be some consequences and some monitoring and some phone restriction. But at the same time, choosing relationship, keeping relationship open, and teaching kids how to rebuild that trust by using consistency and behavior with accountability over time.
That's great. You know, teens don't always want to go to counseling, but you've given some great practical steps for parents to really take those initial steps to getting some help. So what does Focus have? What does Focus on the Family have in response to this?
Well, we have counselors, you know, call us. We would be happy to talk with you or your teen. Give us a call. We'd love to consult with you.
That's 1-800-A-FAMILY for those out there who want to call the line. And it's a free phone call. It's 20 minutes, right?
That they get to spend.
Yep. It's a consultation, but we'd be happy to help.
It's a great conversation. Very friendly counselors.
That's
there.
Right.
Yes,
that's
right. Good. Very nice.
Good.
Call us.
Listen well. So, Glenn, Christina, thanks for being on the show with us today. There's so much that is coming at our children as parents, and just knowing about it is the first step, and beyond that, here you've given some great practical steps.